I want you to turn with me today to the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We will share together verses 9, 10, and 11 as a background and a basis for my message today. With the beginning of our new Sunday school year, we have adopted as our theme for the year, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is, of course, based on 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Our theme for the entire Sunday school year. As we think about building a Sunday school for Christ, as we think of winning the lost to Him, as we think of training and establishing people in the faith, I want to speak to you today from the subject, we are building for eternity. Now I trust that you will be altogether relaxed and make yourself at home. This is God's house. This is His day. We are met to worship Him. I believe that we ought to be in a spirit and in an atmosphere of quiet and relaxation and open-mindedness before the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. After we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for the gathering together of Thy people, of members and visitors, and we would ask today if there are those who are without Christ, who have never trusted Him as their personal Savior, that they might come today and anchor their faith in Him. Bless us, we pray, in this message as we deliver Thy word. May through it the Christians be built up and challenged to new heights, and may the lost come to know Christ. In His name we ask it and for His sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. Now Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We are laborers together. We are building for eternity." I want to introduce my message this morning with a little poem that I discovered yesterday. And the name of it is Building a Temple. It goes like this. A builder builded a temple. He wrought it with grace and skill. Pillars and groins and arches all fashioned to work his will. Men said as they saw its beauty, "It shall never know decay. Great is thy skill, O builder, thy fame shall endure for aye." A teacher builded a temple with loving and infinite care, planning each arch with patience, laying each stone with prayer. None praised her unceasing efforts. None knew of her wondrous plan. For the temple the teacher builded was unseen by the eyes of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumbled into dust. Low lies each stately pillar, food for consuming rust. But the temple the teacher builded will last while ages roll, for that beautiful unseen temple is a child's immortal soul. We are building for eternity. And as we build for eternity, there are several things that I believe we must bear in mind. Because we are building for eternity, we must lay the proper foundation. To learn about building and to get a story of foundation building, we must go to the greatest of all storytellers and the greatest of all foundation builders, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us a very interesting and arresting story. It is taken from everyday life. It is very simple. But after all, that's what the gospel is all about. The simplicity of the gospel is absolutely amazing. How simple. Jesus said, there were two men. Two men. Jesus said that each one of these men built a house. Jesus called one of them a wise builder and the other a foolish builder. Jesus said, the man who hears my word, and remember, Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that heareth my word and heedeth my word is like unto a wise man who went forth to build a house. The wise man, Jesus said, built his house upon a rock. And the winds came, and the rains fell, and the storms broke loose. But that house stood because it was built upon a rock, a solid foundation. And then Jesus, the master story giver, said, another man built another house. The man that heareth my word and doeth it not, Jesus said, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sands. And the rains came, and the wind blew, and the storms broke in on that house. And Jesus said, and that house fell, and great was the fall thereof. Why? Because that house was built upon sand. You and I are building. We are not building for time. We are building for eternity. Therefore, your house and mine, your life and mine, your building and mine must be built upon the rock. Remember, Jesus said, the man who built his house upon the sand is foolish. You and I don't have to know a whole lot about building to know that it is absolutely ridiculous to build on a poor foundation. For a building that is built upon a poor foundation will be a poor building. The sand. Now, what are some of the foundations made of sand? A lot of people today are building a building upon the foundation of morality. And I believe in good morals, and I think we ought to practice morality in our lives. But beloved, let me remind you that being a good moral man is not enough. It takes more than that to build for eternity. A lot of people are building on the sand of religion. If religion were all it took to get to heaven, everybody would go. Because everybody has got religion. The Ethiopian had religion, but he didn't have Jesus. And there's a vast difference. The Apostle Paul was the most religious man that you'll read about in the Scripture. Why, Paul said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But something happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. And he became a believer. When Christ entered his heart, Paul began for the first time to build for eternity. The Pharisees were very religious. Why, they were so religious, they fasted 3 times a day. They prayed. They tithed. Oh, they did all of these things. And yet, Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Religion won't get the job done. Everybody's got religion. But it's one thing to have religion. It's another thing to have Christ in your heart. Which have you today? There are those who are building their lives and building their project for life on false pretenses. Why, in this same chapter of Matthew, chapter 7, Jesus said, a lot of people will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, here I am. Don't you know me? I did this and that and the other. And Jesus said, in that day I will say, depart from me. I know you not. A whole lot of people are building today on false pretenses. They profess Christianity, but they do not possess the Christ of Christianity. Beloved, you can have your name on every church roll in this county. You can be baptized, backward, forward, sprinkled, dipped, plunged, anything else, and yet be lost. A whole lot of people are building on false pretenses, but not every one that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. There are going to be a lot of Baptists who aren't going to heaven. That might shock some of you, but get your shock absorbers on. There's more coming. Let me say it again. There are a lot of Baptists who will miss heaven because they're depending upon their baptism or their church membership or their good works. And that will not get you through. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There are going to be a lot of surprises when we get to heaven. Some of you will be surprised you got there. Then some are going to be surprised to see some people they didn't think were going to be there. Then there are going to be some surprised because they saw some people they didn't think would be there who are going to be there. You heard about the man who hadn't seen a friend in a long time, and he said, when they were discussing their past, he said, well, how's your wife? And he said, well, she's in heaven. He said, well, I'm sorry. And then he thought, well, now, that didn't sound too good. He said, well, I'm surprised. Well, that didn't sound too good. And then he said, well, I'm glad. Well, then he just shut up. He didn't know what else to say. But I'm saying this morning. If you are depending upon anything else but the blood of Jesus Christ, you are lost. And you'll never make it through. If I could make it any plainer than that, if I could drive it home any more solidly, any more emphatically than that, I'd do it today. Your name might be on this church roll. You may have been through that baptistry, but unless you've been to Calvary, you are lost. You can't build on a false pretense. Some are building on the sands of pleasure today. They think as long as they can just have fun and pleasure in life, that's all there is to life, is having a good time. But Jesus said, man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that are in the world. Man is not a beast to enjoy the fulfillment of physical drives only. Man is made in the image of God, and pleasure will not completely satisfy. Oh, it might do for a while. It might do for a moment. But it is not everlasting. It is not eternal. What are you building on today? Sand? Or are you building upon the rock? What is that rock foundation? You saw it in verse 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, even Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The storms are coming. The storms of life are coming. Look over the horizon. The storm clouds are now gathering. There will come personal storms into your life. And you and I must be prepared to meet those personal storms. A man said to me the other day, "Preacher, you know, sometimes when I have my own personal devotion and I pray and I read the Word of God, doesn't seem to do anything for me sometimes at the moment." And I said to him, "Listen, perhaps when you are reading the Bible and you're praying, it isn't doing anything for you at the moment. But the hour of emergency is coming. The hour of perils and problems and difficulties and heartaches, they are coming. And when they come, you will have a reserve from which you can draw." The storms are coming. Not only are there personal storms coming in your life, but there are national storms on the horizon. Our nation has never been in the position it's in today. Our politicians are baffled. Our educators are baffled. Our religious men are baffled. The whole nation is baffled. We are torn asunder. And I've said it before and I say it again, unless America experiences a revival that turns us to God, the hand of God's judgment is upon us. It's there. The storms are over the horizon. International storms are coming. That which has taken place in the Middle East, the guerrilla captive of the airplanes and the blowing up of the millions of dollars of craft, these are storms of international magnitude, and the storms are coming. But I say to you this morning, let the storms come. Let war come. Let heartache come. Let poverty come. Let all-out depression come. Whatever will, let it come. We are anchored on the rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. I'm on the rock this morning. And it really doesn't matter of the storms that are coming. They are coming. They are breaking loose all over the world. But we are built upon a solid foundation, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Because we are building for eternity, we must build on the proper foundation. Because we are building for eternity, we must use the right kind of materials. In selecting the materials for your house that you're going to build, you don't want the contractor to cut corners. You don't want him to put inferior materials in your house that you're going to live in. And that house is not going to last forever. It doesn't matter what the contractor puts in it. Time will take its toll upon that house, and it will decay. But you and I are building for eternity, and shame on us if we build with inferior materials. Young people, listen to me this morning. You've got your pastor's heart today. You have the heart of your youth director today. We are for you. And when we try to teach you to build your life upon Christ, we are not saying just so many words. We are giving you the truth. Young people, don't build on the sands of pleasure. Don't build on the sands of pretense. Build your life on Christ. That's the only foundation that'll stand. As we build for eternity, let us build with the right kind of materials. What are some of those materials that we should use? Let me just suggest them and share them with you in passing. First, I believe we ought to use the brick of God's eternal word. Build your life with the scripture. And then we ought to use the mortar of dedication. Holding the brick together with our dedication to Christ. And then let us use the plaster of prayer. Let us plaster our whole building, our entire existence with prayer. And then can I suggest that we use the nails of faith? That we drive these nails of faith? Because faith gives us peace in the time of war. Faith gives us strength in the time of weakness. Faith gives us comfort in the time of sorrow. And faith gives us light in the hour of darkness. Build your life with the nails of faith and use the hammer of hope as you hammer every nail of your life. Use the hammer of hope. And what about the measuring stick for your life? Use the measuring stick of love. Measure all of it by love. For now abideth these three, faith and hope and love. And the greatest of these is love. Build and measure by love. And what about the source of power? The Holy Spirit. You know, when the carpenter wants some power for his skill saw, he plugs in an old ready kilowatt is right there, ready to go to work. Beloved, when you and I get ready to build, we plug into the greatest source of power the world has ever known. For Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power of the Holy Spirit. Aren't we weak this morning? Don't you feel terribly weak today? At our very strongest, we are very weak. Last week over in Dallas, one of the most colorful, one of the most well-respected and best-loved men in Dallas's history was laid to rest. Sheriff Bill Decker. Why, even the Criminal Society of Dallas respected Bill Decker. He was so respected that for 25 years, not one man ever ran against him for office. at Bill Decker's funeral, you know what they sang? And you know why they sang it? It was Bill Decker's request. The lieutenant governor was there. The prominent men of Dallas and of all Dallas County and all the state of Texas were there. And you know what they sang at Bill Decker's request? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Oh, we are so weak, but He is so strong. Let us build by the Holy Spirit with the power of love and the Holy Spirit and build for eternity. For after all, that's the only thing that's going to count. Building for eternity with the proper materials. And then let me share this. Because we are building for eternity, we ought to keep our eyes on the goal. You see, we are not vagrants strolling along aimlessly in life. We are pilgrims headed for a better world. What is our goal anyhow? What are we living for? Let Paul answer it. For to me to live is Christ. Can you say that? Can you say, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. One day the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but all the glory when I shall wake within the palace of the King. And I shall see Him face to face, and tell the story, saved by grace. What is your goal in life? What do you hope for? Our goal is heaven. Surely we have already settled. Our goal is heaven, and we will be satisfied with nothing less. I want to tell you this morning, just in case this might be the last message you ever hear this preacher preach, you may never be back. I may never be back. But I want to tell you something. I'm headed for heaven. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. Our goal is heaven. The old Negro slaves used to stand barefoot in the cotton field, never owned a pair of shoes. And they used to sing, I got shoes, you got shoes, all of God's children got shoes. When I get to heaven, gonna put on my shoes, gonna shout all over God's heaven. We are building for eternity. Our goal is heaven. Keep your eyes on it. It's nearer than you think. We are building for eternity. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that we can build for eternity. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that we can have the assurance that we are on a solid foundation, that we have the proper materials out of which to build our buildings of life that shall last for all eternity. Don't let us use inferior building materials. Don't let us build on the foundation of sand. Help us to build on the rock. Help us to use the right material. And dear God, we beg Thee, help us to keep our eyes on the goal. For we know we can never be satisfied with anything less than heaven. Should there be those who have not made that peace with Thee, who have not reached that eternal agreement of grace, may they reach it today by faith in Jesus Christ. May they step out of that seat at this invitation and come and trust Him. For those who need to renew their vows, who need to dust off the foundation, who need to drill deeper, deeper, deeper in their lives, who need to incorporate the tools of faith and prayer and love and of the Holy Spirit, May they come today and become master builders to build for eternity. For those, Heavenly Father, who are on the outside of the confines of this church, but who are seeking a church home, may they come today by the leadership of Thy Spirit and unite and identify with this body of believers. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake. While you are still in prayer in the congregation, the choir is going to sing a stanza or two of invitation hymn. This, while you pray, while you let the Holy Spirit examine your heart, this is my proposition to you. This is my appeal. This is my invitation. Or rather, God's appeal, God's proposition, God's invitation. It's His business. I'm speaking for Him. Hear me. If you are lost, Jesus wants you to come and trust Him as your Savior. If you need to reaffirm your faith and become a master builder and dig deeper in the rock of grace, I invite you to come and kneel at this altar, member or visitor. You don't have to join this church to pray at this altar. But if, on the other hand, you're here and you would like to become a member of Worth Baptist, I invite you to come by letter, by baptism, or on your statement of having been scripturally baptized. While you pray, while the choir sings the first stanza, who will be first?